you will never find an investor who invested at the right time and exited at the right time and lost money. We looked at the last 4 years, almost 40 billion dirhams of profits has been made by investors who bought and sold in the last 4 years. So it's always about the timing of exit.
Are we still going to have real estate agents? Or will we have AI as agents representing the client on their behalf?
We want to be number one, and we need to keep inventing, reinventing ourselves to keep our positions.
What is that one brutal truth that no one tells about real estate?
I've done so many degrees, and I feel that I want my kids to focus on professional life, on social media, on selling art, how to be online, Bitcoin, crypto, all this stuff. I think this is the future.
What do you think will make a real estate agent really succeed?
My advice to agents, invest in your knowledge. Make sure you know Dubai laws and regulation by heart. When an investor talks to you, refer them to the law, to the clause.
All right, we're here with another special episode with a dear friend of mine, Dr. Mahmoud. It's a pleasure to have you here, brother.
Thank you, my dear brother Hamid. I'm very pleased to be with you today.
Absolutely. I was just wondering now, for the audience who are listening to this podcast, who is Dr. Mahmoud?
That's difficult. Well, with so many hats that I have, I always find it difficult to introduce myself. But since we're in real estate, My name is Mahmoud Al-Bara'i. I've been working in Dubai government for the last 20 years in real estate, and real estate only. And I'm so lucky to be in real estate. It was His Highness Sheikh Mohammed's choice for me to be in real estate.
So he selected you.
He told me, I want you to be in real estate. I want you to be in Dubai Holdings. So it was my first job. And then I was sent to Singapore to do my master's in real estate. So originally, I did my bachelor in electrical engineering, and I was supposed to be an electrical engineer. But all of a sudden, His Highness asked me to switch to real estate. I did my master in Singapore, back to Dubai Holding. A couple of years later, joined Dubai Land Department. And here, another interesting story started with being with the first regulator in the region. If you go at that time, 2007, you will never find a real estate regulatory agency anywhere. In the region, even internationally, you don't see such an entity. So I was lucky to be one of His Excellency Marwan's Ben Ghleita, Engineer Marwan team, was giving the mandate to manage something called real estate sector development, then moved to be the CEO of Dubai Real Estate Institute, back to RERA as advisor, and now I'm heading policies and innovation in Dubai Land Department. This is in the government side, but I also teach at the American University in Dubai as assistant professor of management, in addition also to my adjunct role at Mohammed Bin Rashid School of Government, where I teach government officials on how to run governments, what's Dubai's way or Dubai's model of management when it comes to future governments. So I consider myself Dubai product. And His Highness has a very big influence on me and who I am today. He told me when I finished my bachelor, I wanted to continue, keep going, and never stop in your education. And you know, from that time till today, I have 5 master's degrees.
5.
And 1 doctorate.
Wow.
So I feel like His Highness has really shaped me and shaped many, many hundreds and thousands of people in this region. Gave us the hope, gave us the secret formula for success, which is keep going, keep chasing number one. We don't know who's number two. We want to be number one. And we need to keep inventing, reinventing ourselves to keep our position. So we talk a lot about competitiveness of cities. Actually, that was my PhD topic, but I also take it at personal level, how we stay relevant as individuals, how we keep ourselves competitive in such a competitive city with 200 nationalities, talents from all over. So the journey to the education journey, the knowledge acquiring journey is a never ending journey. And this is what His Highness wanted from me.
This is something interesting that you're pointing out. You have spent majority of your time in the education field. So you spend it in the academic level. 5 masters, you're telling me. And then you also have doctors, PhD. You also won the bachelor in Singapore. Do you think with the way the technology is going right now, with every information source that is available compared to the time that you were studying, can I become an expert on a certain topic without going to university?
Oh, that's a big question. I don't want people to quote me on this, but after the 5 masters and 1 PhD, yes, I can tell you with full confidence that we are in a very revolutionary era where knowledge is so easy, accessible, but it also requires critical thinking because not everything you see is as accurate and true. Maybe we did it the hard way, the long way, but now I think the 5 master's degrees that I did and the 1 PhD, I think this can be done in 1 year of using the technologies and the AI. And actually, I am reflecting that back on my kids. My wife always say, you need to teach your kids so they become like you. I said, you know what? I've done so many degrees and I feel that I want my kids to focus on professional life, on social media, on selling art, how to be online, Bitcoin, crypto, all this stuff. I think this is the future. And if you allow me, Hamid, if we go back to the education, to the curriculum, most of this education and curriculum has been made at the time of Second Industrial Revolution. Where were we expecting at that time people to be doing a standard job, repetitive work, no innovation.
Very routine tasks.
Very routine, life balance, life work balance, 8 to 5, 9 to 6. But things have changed and education did not keep up with that. So what I think we need, and we always talk about that in the context of sustainable development, when we talk about quality education, we need to revisit our education system. And what do we want from our graduates and alumni? Are they ready for work? We see a lot of graduates, when they come to office, they're not ready. They don't have the soft skills. So a new way of teaching, a new way of using technology. Technology is now making our life easier with all, ChatGPT and DeepSeek and all this stuff makes your life, even at work, easier. Before, I used to do when I compare countries and benchmarking studies with other countries and cities, it takes me like 2-3 weeks to find out information. Now, with one click, I say, how is rental laws in UK? How is it different from Dubai? What are the best practices when it comes to real estate tokenization? Who are the best players in that field? And all, in one day, you can get a huge amount of information. You can later verify. So I agree with you. Education that we see today has to rethought about from scratch.
It's interesting that you pointed out as well that AI, how does AI going to impact the real estate today? If you think about it, are we still going to have real estate agents? Or will we have AI as agents representing the client on their behalf?
Funny enough, this question I've been asked since 2010, so about 15 years or even more. The short answer, we will always need real estate agents, but a qualified one, professional one. Because, real estate is not like you're buying a mobile phone or a 10 dirhams or 1,000 dirham or 20,000 dirham product. It's a life saving. It's millions of dirhams.
6 to 8 figures to 9 figures.
So you cannot just do it completely technology. Although technology will make it easier to search, find, to compare. It will give investors more confidence. They will be aware of numbers, the prices here and there, the return, the yields. They may also have an opportunity with virtual reality to see off-plan property before it's completed. How does it look like? The materials and so on and so forth. But you will always need a trusted advisor, if you allow me not to use a broker, a trusted advisor where you get them involved with you in the process. So I think a lot of brokerage companies will go out of business, definitely. The way that they're doing business traditional way is not going to be the future. And we've seen, we used to travel before to Europe and the US. We used to go to travel agents. Now, very few people use travel agents. And that will come to the real estate industry. You will always go to the best trusted advisor who are not just there to bring buyer and seller, because a lot of technologies now can bring buyer and seller direct without a broker.
What platforms that you usually find in your property finder, you can easily find someone. Imagine if we can make it in a way that...
Yeah.
I'll buy instantly. I'm interested in this off plan.
Yeah.
I want to buy on it. Yeah. That's it. Why do I need an agent? Here we go.
Yeah. But your question on AI and influence on real estate, this is even beyond brokers.
Mm.
Because, look, I mean,
well, what if an AI is actually making the investment decisions
easier?
Checking if whether I will have a return investment that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
How would you see in terms of that? They will become my trusted advisor.
Yes.
In a way, like, okay, based on the area that you're looking to invest, this is the amount of rent real that you approximately gain in this place. And based on the investment that you're putting this one at this price.
Yeah.
The service charge is this. The price per square foot is this. Therefore, we think you will get a return investment of this amount.
Well, that's a good remark that you mentioned. It depends on what kind of investor we're talking about. If you are an investor for return, yes, that's you will definitely depend 90 to 95% on the technology.
Mm.
But if you are an end user, you want to stay in that home, then it's not only you who is the decision maker. Your kids, your wife, they need to come, they need to see properties, they need to compare. It's like a shopping experience when you go to the mall.
Do you love being here? That's the thing. It's like a lot of the real estate is sold with emotion.
Yes, and psychology is a very important part of it.
Yes.
So saying that, we're not saying that technology will not disrupt real estate. It will definitely disrupt. It will make the smart agents richer. The traditional agents need to keep up and revolutionize their way of doing things. But what we see in terms of AI influence on real estate is beyond buying and selling. We see the influence on buildings, built environment, the construction materials. How do we use technology in making sure that the home price is 20% down? What about energy efficiency, consumption? So the technology now is also impacting the cost of building, the cost of maintenance, the energy consumption. So for me, and the sensors, using sensors, smart, intelligent building where your home doesn't have to be on all the time. It can be off when you're out. Your refrigerator can tell you that, well, we are going to run out of eggs in 2 days, so order will be done automatically.
Everything is efficiently managed.
Efficiently managed, automation. So all these things will definitely impact real estate industry.
For sure, it will save a lot of costs, especially when it comes to electricity and water. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Service charges, you know, like we're talking about 50% of service charge is utilities.
Mm.
So a lot of people, when they could talk to us about service charge, we tell them, well, this is bills coming from Diwa and Power. Those guys, it's based on consumption.
But there's a lot of places they charge service charges, which is much more than the usual. You would say you'll pay like 23 to 30 dirham per square foot. So imagine that compared to the average, which is between 13 to 15 to 18, 13 to 18. What decides that, okay, this place, they're going to be charging this much and this place, they're going to be charging this much?
Good question. So we jump to the homeowner's association, which is an interesting business we need to talk about. No, service charge is how much we pay to take care of common areas in a building, right? So what does it mean, common areas? Corridors, lift, landscaping, security, and all this. So there are items that they are fixed, no matter how much they go up, 5-10% difference. Insurance is insurance. Security is security, landscaping. If you have a swimming pool, maybe you need a little bit more cost to that. But the difference, Hamid, comes from all the utilities. So I've done a study on buildings in Dubai Marina. I found buildings 15 dirhams per square foot. I found buildings 30 and 40.
Hmm.
I dig deeply into that and I found it's only energy. It's only utilities. So some buildings have been using old technologies over capacity. They're paying more because they're not optimally designed for energy consumption. And that's why we have companies now in Dubai who goes to buildings and say, well, I will invest in your building. I will make it more energy efficient and that will cut cost. I will not charge you anything. I will just share the cut that we made. I mean, we lowered your energy consumption from 1 million to 500,000. We will share the profit of 500,000, 50-50. So all these buildings, Hamid, with no exception, the issue is always the energy utilities. So what we suggest is that, especially the old buildings, is to relook and invest. It's a little bit more money, but it will pay off at the end. Because even if you are an end user or if you are an investor, you need someone who's staying in your apartment who's paying less bills. So it's not random. And it's only what makes difference between a building to a building is facilities, definitely. If a building doesn't have facilities, no swimming pool, no extra facilities in a building, then they would pay less than you. But assuming that we have the same facilities, the only difference comes from energy and utilities consumption.
Now, there's a recent update that has been done with the RERA index, rental index in this case, where now you don't necessarily change the rental based on the area, but now even to the specific building,
yes,
or the specific place. That is something interesting. How do you know that this building should increase the rental prices and whether they should decrease?
As I told you, DLD has one-stop shop for all real estate information and data. So we have our system that we developed that shows us who's investing, where, how much, where they move from where to where, the prices, the rental, all of these things. But we also have a classification of all buildings in Dubai. So I tell you, this is a 5-star building. This is a 4-star. This is a 3-star and so on, based on a criteria, an approved criteria. We send our inspector who go and check on a building and give it a classification based on facilities, consumption, management, the look of it, and many other factors. So why we've done this, Hamid? Because, you know, the index previously does not look at if this is a 5-star hotel or this is a 3-star. If they're in the same area, khalas, they should go for the same rent. We found this is not too fair to all parties. So we said, if you are a landlord and you invested a lot of money in buying a property,
I'm giving you a lot of good service
and
amenities.
So 2 beds in a 5-star should not rent for 2 beds in a 2-star or a 3-star. However, our current smart system, it looks at building classification, but it also looks at the neighborhood average, because we don't want also to overshoot. We want to keep Dubai affordable. The idea is, as much as we want to be fair, we also want to continue to be affordable, because this city will thrive based on attracting more talents. More talents will come, more real estate space is needed. And this is our plan 2040, urban plan 2040. We want to reach 7.8 million people by 2040, double our population. We want to grow. We want to have 2 new economic centers. So we want to keep our system interesting for new investors. That's important, but also affordable for tenants. And that's a not easy one, because interesting for investors automatically means that the tenants will pay more. But we try to balance.
There was a recent news by His Highness Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum about giving spaces,
yes,
that is much more affordable.
Yeah, 70,000 units, yes.
What information you could tell us, if there's any information, like how is it actually affordable compared to what is available now?
Well, the UAE leadership and Dubai leadership care a lot about residents and citizens of this country. Want to make sure that the quality of life we have is the best. So home, if you go to Maslow hierarchy of needs, home comes at the bottom. Jesus. We need to satisfy, make sure people have access to affordable, decent home. So we've seen recently with the Dubai became very important in investment destination. We have 200 nationalities of investors on a monthly basis. We have 10,000 new investors investing first time in Dubai, pushing prices high. So we've seen that there will be always people who are not taken care of, if we leave it just market forces, supply and demand. If we leave it supply and demand, they will not be able to afford Dubai. So the government has focused in the last few months on a strategy for affordable housing. So what you've seen is just one project, but you will have more of it. And there are a lot of discussions on how we give incentives to developers to develop affordable housing, not only government. Government is important. 17,000 units will be market rental, very affordable to people who meet certain criteria. It will be managed by the government. But we also want the private sector to come and say, we want to give affordable housing. So we looked at, for example, something called inclusionary zoning, where a developer will be given more GFA.
What does GFA stand for?
Gross floor area.
Okay.
So you can build higher.
Mm.
But in return, I want you to allocate 10-20% for affordable housing. If it's not in the same building, then do it in another community.
Mm.
This is something that has been done in a lot of countries. So we're looking at giving incentives to developers to make them care more about providing affordable. Yes, now luxury is selling more, but we want people, developers, to take care of people who cannot afford luxury.
I've also seen recently that you and numerous other government officials, they went to Shenzhen in China.
Yeah.
What was this story about? Is it to benchmark with Shenzhen and learn about the infrastructure of the city and how you can implement something of similar nature?
Well, this trip has been arranged by the Executive Office of Hassan Sheikh Mohammed and the Chamber of Commerce. And the idea is, Hassan always looks to make Dubai number one.
Exactly.
So we want to be the best city on earth for people to live, work, and entertain. This is our vision. This is our strategy. We have our D33 economic and social agenda. We have a lot of objectives to achieve. So Shenzhen came to the table as a city that started like Dubai, a fishing city.
Mm.
And with the development, it became very well known now in the domain of technology and AI. And they managed to build a very interesting city. I mean, we got to learn a lot when it comes to designing the city. If you go to Shenzhen, by design, 50% of it is public areas and green areas, green space, not to be touched. When you go there and you look at 18 million people living in an area maybe similar to Dubai area,
but it's that small.
But you don't see traffic.
Mm.
You don't see a lot of people in the street. So the way that they design their underground infrastructure, we have more roads than Shenzhen, but they have more public transport network if you take it by kilometer than Dubai. So we focus on the built environment as Dubai Land Department. When we went there, we were just focusing on that field, which is the built environment, how they build, how they deal with floods. So they have something called Sponge City, where they first have invested in AI in terms of predicting floods and crisis 24 days before. So they're ready. So readiness is important, but also the infrastructure of the city where all these waters will be collected under a ground.
Sewer system.
Yes. So we looked at that as well. We looked at, they have almost 1,500 public space or public parks. So everywhere. They focus a lot on sports, on making people walk and so on, like walkability of the city, bikeability. And you've seen recently Dubai launch Dubai Walks project, which is how we make our city more walkable, more bikeable, and so on. So the visit to Shenzhen is one of many visits. We will visit a lot of countries because you always have to look at best practices and make sure we take what best fit Dubai. It's not about we're going there to exactly take this and copy it here in Dubai.
Learn and adapt to the situation that we have.
So we want to have the best of every city in the world in Dubai.
Wonderful.
So if there is the best sewer system in a certain city, we want it to be in Dubai. The best infrastructure in a certain city, we want it in Dubai. So we're looking at the best in so many countries and cities, and we're building it here in Dubai.
That is very interesting. What do you think of, like, what I'm seeing right now with a lot of real estate apartments, especially apartments here in Dubai, they're becoming smaller in sizes compared to what they were being offered before. Now, I mean, studios that I used to think of them as being 700 to 800 square feet, but now 400, which is half of what it used to be. And it just kind of reminds me of New York City, where they have that, like, they will charge a huge amount for rental for small space. The barely you can fit a human, like it feels like I'm It's very hard space. What do you think Dubai is heading that target, that area? That's eventually all apartments will be very small.
Well, this question actually we were discussing with some developers recently, and we've seen the trend. If 10, 15 years ago, we used to have more spacious apartments in Dubai because the prices of real estate at that time was affordable.
Mm.
Like you talk about 700, 800 dirham per square foot. And today we talk about 1,400, 500, even more, 2,000.
But doesn't that mean because the developer is also looking for more opportunities? So instead of like having one bedroom taking that much space, I can make two bedrooms.
Yes.
With that space.
I can, yes. I can make two beds and I can sell it at higher price.
Yeah.
But if I come and tell you 600 square foot studio will go for 1.3, you will not buy it.
Mm.
But if I tell you a studio, 400 square foot with 600, 700,000, you will go and buy it. So it's also from marketing point of view, they don't want the prices to look expensive.
Mm.
So when you go and you buy a 400 square foot studio, you'll pay 600, maybe 700,000. But if I make it 600, I will charge you per square foot and that will take it
much more higher. Yeah, based on the area and the location of the place.
Yes. Yeah.
That is interesting. So let's say I'm an expat. I'm coming here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to invest. How should I go about it?
Well, I tell you first thing, before investing, take your time. Enjoy the city. Because Dubai is not only about buildings and real estate and investment. Enjoy the building. Walk around. Go find communities. Check on communities. See which community best represents you and fits you and fits your requirement. You want to live there? You want to invest? You need to make a decision. Mm. And second, with the Dubai Land Department data, check on numbers, the history of transactions, the prices, the rental, the yield, please, the service charge. Look at all these considerations.
Where do you find those information?
It's all in Dubai Rest.
Dubai Rest.
All in Dubai Land Department.
Because there's numerous other websites that have those numbers that take from Dubai Rest.
We signed agreement with three companies, so Property Finder, Bayut, and DXP Interact. So all of them have Dubai Land Department, and they're also alternative way to look at numbers. However, we always prefer people to come to Dubai Land Department and check on data. So we want data-driven investors, not emotionally driven. We always say, Habibi, come to Dubai, and we have a lot of people who came to Dubai. But we want them, when they come to Dubai, we want them to make the right choice.
A sound investment.
Sound investment. Look at who's developing the project. What's their rating? Which developer? They have a success record or no? Delivering on time or no? What is the management company? What's the service charge? What are people saying in Google reviews about this building and that building and this developer and this? So do all of this.
Interesting.
And make a decision based on numbers and based on also feelings. We in the past, we used to have a lot of people coming and complaining about certain developers. And we tell them, where is your project? We don't know. What side in Dubai? We don't know. Villa or apartment, they barely know. All we know, we were promised this and that. But is it in your SPA? And that's another advice. Please look at your SPA. Close by close, line by line.
Mm.
Your rights, your duties. Look at laws and regulation. Look, if you are an investor, also look at our tenancy laws. Look at our rental index.
Mm.
And that's why I told you, Hamid, from the beginning, we don't want traditional brokers who will come, please sign now, let's buy it. If you don't sign in 2 minutes, someone else will buy it. We want a trusted advisor who takes you throughout all these numbers so you're sold. You know what it takes, your long term, your short term, your end user, your investor, what's your goal?
You're sold based on performance, based on the results, based on fact and statements that have been produced by Dubai Land Department.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. And I believe that a lot of real estate agents lack that ability to guide investors and in how they can make a sound investment. Because they don't know. They're thinking about the commission more than anything else. Like, Habibi, I want to make the money right now. So it's less about the project delivering the ultimate investment to the client, but more so about how much the project brings in commission.
Exactly. Well, that's an important one. I always, when I teach brokers, I always tell them, your ethical broker, you should tell the investor how much commission you're making.
Mm.
Or if you're offering them three projects, tell them, my commission here is 5%. My commission here is 7%. My commission here is 3%. But I'm giving you the best advice based on 1 to 3 numbers. Hamid, it's not surprising for you and everyone that in Dubai today, we have 26,900 real estate agents. Just 1 month before COVID, we used to have 10,000. So in the last 4 years, we're more than double or even 3 times, right?
What do you think will make a real estate agent really succeed right here in Dubai?
Knowledge and network.
Network.
And long term. We always tell them you are the ambassadors of Dubai real estate market. Mm. Don't look for short term. Don't look for quick wins. Be sustainable. Be long term. Build the trust with your investor. Because if you build the trust with them, they will come back.
How do you build that trust?
Well, that's a good question. Build it when you offer them the best advice based on numbers. When you take time understanding what they really want.
Hmm.
Not jumping. Yes, you want to buy. This project is interesting. No. Sit with them. Understand what matters and what doesn't matter.
Listen.
Their long-term, short-term. Listen to them. Don't be pushy, because once you start to be pushy, they will not trust you.
Because you're like desperate. You're looking for that commission. You're not looking to serve that client.
Exactly. I have a German friend who wanted to buy something in Dubai. And one of the agents sent him a WhatsApp. This is the best opportunity. It's a fantastic return. And you know, he said in Germany, we are numbers driven. We don't sell such nice words. Tell me how much is the return. And instead of telling, fantastic, if you don't buy today.
Everyone can do that.
Yeah.
But can everyone do the analysis
and
be able to get the facts, results, or the outcome of why this should be a good investment?
And people will always, Hamid, from the first meeting with an agent, they will know who's a good agent and who's not a good agent. We have a lot of good agents, by the way, in the market.
For
amazing
sure.
ones who have been trained, ethical. They have the real estate knowledge. As I told you, like, maybe 20,000 people came after COVID. So they came at the time where we did not have courses and training courses for them. So they're learning by experience. And they will always have some gaps in their knowledge.
Hmm.
So that's why my advice to agents, invest in your knowledge. Make sure you know Dubai laws and regulation by heart. When an investor talks to you, refer them to the law, to the clause.
Where do you find those laws?
It's on Dubai Land Department website.
Everything.
All the laws and regulation, Arabic and English, and now we're working on 5 other languages.
What about in terms of courses you talked about?
Yeah.
Where do you find that as well?
Well, currently they're private provider.
Mm.
The government is not offering them anymore. So there are few providers in the market. So there is something called IEREI. There is ThinkProp. There is IGRI or EGREI. So all these are approved by KHDA. However, these courses are voluntary. They're not compulsory. So if you want to go and learn, you can. But I think it should be also done at firms level, agencies level. They should invest in education. They make sure that their agents are educated, ethical. And also, and I always say it, we have a lot of competition between brokers. But we never tried cooperation.
Mm.
Why not? It's the best time now to come and work as an industry for the best of Dubai. A bad agent will make an investor run away. So, and that's why we always say happy customer means a lot. And it will bring us closer to our goal of making Dubai the first choice for international investor. This is our vision. This is our 2033 strategy. We want to be the first choice. We want to reach 1 trillion dirhams of a transaction by the year 2033.
Now, when I think about some of the wealthy people that have been here before 2007, they invested in off-plan properties and eventually had some of those off-plan properties never come into handover. How is DLD, of course, they have implemented a plan, but I want you to explain from your side. How is DLD really safeguarding the investment that is being placed on off-plan properties by the developers that are giving those projects right now?
The most secure off-plan model on earth is here in Dubai. So post-2008 global financial crisis, we rethought our off-plan model. Maybe the projects you're talking about before 2008, some of these projects did not have escrow account. Hmm. Some of developers are not here in the country. So the government has to form a committee for canceled project. And this committee is looking at project by project, liquidate it, sell the property if there is no chance of building it, and give tenants or give investors their money. And I've seen three projects myself where investors were paid 100% of their money.
Hmm.
But nowadays, after 2008, it's not easy to develop in Dubai. We make it very protective of investors. So we tell developer, come, first of all, buy the land 100%.
Hmm.
We want you to have a skin in the game. And second, you have to pay 20 to 30% of the construction cost in the escrow account. So all Dubai projects post 2008, there is no way that they will fail with this model, because we know that developer owned the land. We know that he put 30%. So your 20% as a down payment as an investor, along with the 30% from the developer, will make sure that we will complete the building. So the building will be completed. So the issue will not be about completion of building. Even if investors default for any reason, the developers have enough money in the escrow to finish the building.
Mm.
So the system we have right now is the best system on earth. Wherever you go, you will not find such protection that exists. So we make sure that developers are capable. They have skin in the game. So worst case scenario, Hamid, let's take a worst case scenario. A developer does not continue the project. What will the government do? Either bring another developer to continue, or we will liquidate. Liquidate, we take the land, we sell it in the auction, okay? And then whatever is in the escrow account, we combine both, and then we give investors their money first before we give the rest to the developer. So the model now, calculation-wise, financial-wise, you as an investor, you are protected. And also we have in our laws and regulation that we push and pressure developers to finish on time. We will not release money for them till they complete things. So we link construction to payment.
So every construction is monitored by DLD, ensuring that they complete in time.
However, we always tell investors, pay in the escrow account. And this is an important thing when talk here from your episode and podcast, that investors should not pay outside the escrow account.
How do you ensure that?
They should ensure that. We make sure that we tell them, we make sure that there is enough awareness in the market, but we also require from investors to do their homework.
Hmm.
Before you pay any single dirham.
We can stop this. Can you just the fly? There's a fly.
Well,
I fly any. The flyover.
Rahat? Yeah. Anyways, you can cut and come back.
There's a fly, it's still there. Still there, I see.
Why not?
Oh, there. Hey.
La. Hi, Mr. Huz.
There we go. خلاص.
Anyways, so.
That's it. So you were saying?
So.
Before anyone invests?
Before any investor invests in Dubai, they should first go to Dubai Rest. Look at the developer. Is it a real developer? Is it licensed in Dubai?
How do you find that information?
It's in Dubai Rest.
Dubai Rest.
Yeah, there is Mashrui. It's the name of the service or Mashrui projects update.
Hmm.
You go there and check on the developer. Is it a trusted developer? What's the project name? Is it there in Dubai Rest? Does it have an escrow account? You will find the escrow account there in Dubai Rest. So if a developer send you another account and tell you transfer money, tell him, I looked at Dubai Rest and this is the trust account.
So you can find even the account of the
account. And it always has the word escrow.
Mm.
So if it doesn't have the word escrow, it has the company name. This is not an escrow account.
Okay.
So make sure that you go to Dubai Rest, check on the accurate bank account where you transfer money. Once it's transferred there, then you need to push developer to give you uqood, which is the off-plan registration. So once you have an uqood, and you transfer to the trust account, we fully protect you. But if you transfer outside the escrow, if you don't have uqood, then you are at the mercy of the developer. And that's why it's important awareness. Make sure that you deal with.
So what if I actually give to the escrow? Well, now I'm requiring the aqul, but they don't give me the aqul.
Then you come to Dubai Land Department and complain.
Hmm.
Dubai Land Department will communicate with the developer. If they don't do it within a week or so, DLD will do the registration itself. We will do it for them.
So the investor is protected either way when they come to that.
So we still hear some investors saying we don't have aqud. So this is not acceptable. And they should come and pressure the developer to give them their aqud.
Interesting insights. For sure, that will make an investor feel much more relief to, you know, invest here, especially within the UAE. Something where a country they don't even know about. They feel much more. But you're talking about Dubai Land Department. So we're first focusing specifically about Dubai here. Now, within your insider information, with you being having this information, what do you think is the hidden gem area that most people are not really investing in Dubai?
That's a very difficult question.
Is there an area that most people are like neglecting? They're thinking about JPR, Marina, and everywhere. But does this place you still haven't really thought about?
It's not there. It's not about they're not investing. Maybe they don't see the future of it.
Mm.
So again, I always, whenever you want to invest, go back to the government strategies and vision. Where are we building the infrastructure? Mm. Where are we expanding? So we're building the largest airport in Jabal Ali, Al Maktoum Airport. So Dubai South is an interesting futuristic area. It's one of the five economic centers that the city is working on, and it's still undervalued.
Hmm.
So it's not about like where something that no one is investing in. Everywhere in Dubai, you will find the investors. But I think that Dubai South and the area in Jabal Ali, next to the port, next to the airport, this is an interesting area with all the facilities and infrastructure. And Dubai is moving towards Abu Dhabi, and Abu Dhabi is also developing from the other side. So that side will give us a new stock. It's still affordable stock. It's still opportunities to get to the market. So I remember Jabal Ali Garden at the time of COVID was selling at 60 and 70 and 90 dirhams per square foot. And now 290, 320 and more. So, but it's still see that affordable compared
undervalued. I mean, there is a potential for it to grow.
Exactly. Another area that I also, because people like waterfront, they like views. I think the Deira Island is an interesting area that we see a lot of interest in.
You mean the Dubai Maritime City? Or
it's another one, Dubai Maritime City, but Deira Island or Jazar Dubai, we call them Dubai Islands. That's developed by Nakheel / Dubai Holding now. This is an interesting area. It became more of, you know, second home and touristic hotel destination for people coming to Dubai. So you go to Santara and Rio, two hotels there, four stars. If you go there, any time in the year is fully booked. So we see a lot of projects going there in that area. But overall, Majan area is interesting. We see Adar is developing there now and other developers. We see Arjan. But most of supply coming in JVC. A lot of supply is coming in JVC. So I think people who like JVC should try Arjan and Majan. These two interesting areas. If they want waterfront with still affordable, you have the Maritime City, you have Deira Islands. But I personally recommend that Jabal Ali is a futuristic area.
Interesting. But I've noticed that a lot of the properties are mostly freehold. There was once where, like, for example, something that was done by Nakheel, Nad al-Shibba Villas. Are we going to see more of those properties like that's going to be specifically as an investment, but for locals or GCC nationals in that perspective?
I think what we will see is more of a freehold areas.
Yeah.
Because Dubai is an international global city. You have 200 nationalities of investors. So we've seen recently Sheikh Zayed and Jeddah has been turned to freehold area because of the economic potential of them. So at the end of the day, it's a case by case.
But there's also new regulation, new rule where now current existing owned UAE national lands, they can be split. So you can get to your kids.
Exactly.
Pretty much. That's what.
So the subdivision, or we call it in Arabic, farz al-wahdat, where in local areas now you can subdivide a building and sell units to GCC people.
So it doesn't have to be from family. You can sell it.
No, you can sell to any GCC person.
But where do people usually find this then? Now, this is, opens a huge opportunity for GCC people.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you don't find those much in the property finder or Bayut because it's mostly focused on freehold. How do you go about finding something like this?
So this is an interesting product for you, Hamid, or anyone who's listening to us.
Really?
I mean, yes, the market for the local area. And that's why one of the reasons why we've done the subdivision, because we want to activate this market. We want it to be more active.
It opens a new opportunity.
Yes. Before, you only buy a building in non-freehold. Now you can buy a unit, you can buy a retail, you can... And again, it's also important to solve inheritance issues.
Hmm.
So now when you have inheritance issue, you can divide units. You can have a title deed for each unit instead of selling the building and giving everyone his part. So it has social element. It has also economic elements. We want the non-freehold market to be also active like the freehold.
Hmm. Interesting. This
Anyways.
So it's interesting with a lot of things that are happening in real estate. I can imagine like it's one of the most powerful thing that you can own right here in Dubai right now. This is the trend. This is where everything is going. And we just recently heard from you specifically talking about tokenization. Tell me more about that.
That's the 60 billion dirhams question.
It's like, I feel like it's more so similar to how we see of crypto, but this is a real asset that's being tokenized.
So I had a...
No, I'm not sure. What? By the fee?
Yeah. Where? I'll answer about tokenization. This is the most important question. Where? I have to take it tokenization because we're going to ask them. Real estate tokenization. So a lot of people ask me, what is real estate tokenization? Dubai recently launched the tokenization project, which is how we turn a physical asset into a digital asset. So have a real estate, an apartment or a building, and you make tokens out of it. So this is more of a fractional ownership. So each token holder will own a fraction of that property.
Mm.
You will not actively manage this. There's a professional company licensed by VARA who will hire only professional companies to run this building and run this property. And the income that will come from this property, we will take out the expenses and you will get a return that goes up to 7-10%.
But I've heard about those types of fractional ownership that exist already before that. What makes this new that you're talking about this time?
That's a good question. What exists here in Dubai is what we call crowdfunding. So there are few platforms in Dubai who are licensed and regulated by DFSA. And here, allow me to also give a very important point to our investors. Make sure you only invest in platforms that are regulated by either DFSA or VARA. And I will tell you why. DFSA regulates the crowdfunding. VARA now regulates the tokenization with Dubai Land Department. Mm. There are a lot of platforms who come and say, buy a piece of Dubai, they're not regulated here, so you're not protected. So make sure that's something.
How do we ensure that exactly?
There are only 3-4 of them in DFSA.
Okay.
So they're limited. If someone comes from any country outside Dubai selling you Dubai property, don't buy.
Mm.
Because most probably this is a scam or this is not protecting you. So the crowdfunding, back to your question on what's the difference between crowdfunding and tokenization. Well, tokenization is more efficient. In tokenization, we don't require you to form SPV. In crowdfunding, to do it, you need first to set up an SPV.
Mm.
And all the owners will be shareholders in that SPV. So that's cost, money, and
more
time.
Complex situation for it.
But also, what's most important is the liquidity part. For crowdfunding, there's, I think, two windows per year that you can exit. So you cannot exit anytime. You have to wait 6 months. And then exiting also requires extra fees here and there, transfer fees and so on. In tokenization, it's done on blockchain. You can instantly sell your token, current market value, DLD smart valuation linked to that. You take a certificate of ownership you want to sell, you can sell anytime. And it's also supported by the government. So there's a lot of efficiency, there's a lot of cost cutting. And it also allows investors from all over the world to invest in Dubai.
So the question when it comes to this tokenization, will they be managed by those three companies that you mentioned, that you briefly spoke about, that are doing crowdfunding right now? Or is this something that's going to be managed by someone separate?
That's a good question. So currently the crowdfunding, look at it as a different product with its different customers.
Okay.
I mean, our product tokenization, we say it should be, the property should be above 5 million dirhams.
Hmm.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, it will always go to crowdfunding. However, what we say for the tokenization project, we only work with VARA licensed companies. So currently there are not so many. So even these crowdfunding platforms, they're now looking at having a VARA license, which will take a little bit of time, but it will be done. So we always say that investors should look at VARA website and the FSA. If they're investing in crowdfunding, then the FSA. If they're investing in tokenization, then VARA website will tell you which is a licensed broker dealer, which is not, which is a licensed tokenization platform, which is not.
So once they're approved by VARA, it means I'm in safe hands.
Yes, because VARA has a very rigid process where they make sure that there is no space or there is no 1% chance of investor being cheated. So they make sure that there's a full protection all the way. So VARA, along with DLD and Dubai Future Foundation, joined forces. And now we're doing the pilot stage. So the pilot stage will be on a ready property. And that's also another difference from crowdfunding. Currently, crowdfunding only ready property. Tokenization, we will start with ready property, but we will allow in stage two an off plan.
Where can I get like more information regarding this?
We're going to publish more information. This project has been launched just last week. So we'll make sure that we will send more information to the industry.
Sure. What is that one brutal truth that no one tells about real estate?
Real estate is a long term. The real estate is not a stock. It shouldn't be speculative. And I shared with you the number that the holding period now, the holding period of investors in Dubai, they hold on a property for 5.1 years. Want to see this number more and more. So we don't want agents to go and tell investor, buy today and after 3 months, I will sell it for you. We don't want this mentality. A second thing is that real estate never dies. It may become sick, but it will never die. And it's the best best investment when it comes to saving money. It's the best investment if you want to invest for your kids. And this is something not a lot of people say. I think instead of giving your kids a bank account with certain amount of money, give them a property. That's long lasting. This is sustainable. You will never, and that's the fact, you will never find an investor who invested at the right time and exited at the right time and lost money. We looked at the last 4 years, almost 40 billion dirhams of profits has been made by investors who bought and sold in the last 4 years. So it's always about the timing of exit. Even people who bought at 2008, which was the peak and the highest, if they waited till 2, 3 years back, they would have made more money. But some of them sold. So it's the game of holding on the asset. This is how you make value.
So it's more about holding it with the capital appreciation.
Yes. And Dubai is still way undervalued. We still want third prices of a lot of international cities.
I actually did an analysis between New York City and Dubai and London. And we're still, there's a huge potential for Dubai to rise in terms of value.
Yeah.
For sure.
And safety and security. Not a lot of people talk about it.
You can't find that.
You cannot quantify it.
Yeah.
Living peacefully, going out at night and day.
Having your watch and not worrying about being stolen or your phone, leaving it just in a coffee shop.
Yeah. Tolerant city, tolerant country. This is also money. So I think we are set for the future. The prices we see today, yes, more than 2013 or 14, but still Dubai is undervalued.
Now, for you as an investor, let's say you, Fafil Mahmoud, what is the first thing you look into before actually investing in a property?
I see the first thing, I look at the master plan. I see where is it fitting and in the whole community and the offering of the community. Community with a park, community with a school, community with a hospital. This is a must.
Mm.
This is the 20-minute city that we want to create. So I always make sure if I'm as an investor, I want to get good return, I want to make sure that my tenant has access to everything, to all these things.
And how do you ensure, how do you know that this community might have hospital around it?
Well, if it's not public information, I go and check for it and make sure that I look at the plans and what the government's trying to do. And second, I look at the developer. Who's the developer? What they've done before. They delivered on time. The quality.
Where do you see the track record for the developer, for example?
Dubai Rest is one. It has
all the project by the
developer. And the delay in their projects or their on time.
Very nice.
But I also go and look at Google review. I also go to social media.
Really?
And look at the branding of this guy. I mean, what people are saying about this company and that company. So I always look at... And you know, by the way, you know, being in the government at the same time, I go to Twitter and Facebook and I wrote Dubai Real Estate. I write a certain developer name. And I see what people are saying.
And when I find on the X platform. Yeah. Okay.
And then I find someone complaining about certain developer. I go and talk to this person directly. I say, I've seen that you have a challenge with this developer. Can you email me telling me the details? And I try to solve it for them. So social media, Google reviews also is another way of looking at the reputation of developers. And the best test of checking on the quality of developers, when it rains.
When it rains
in Dubai, you go around and see which community did well, which buildings was not impacted. So that tells you that the building good quality.
Mm.
So that's another test.
Yeah, seeing the leakage, the mold, that's something that it's very common with those who didn't build quality, infrastructure of the houses. What's the one strategy people should act right now with the market that is shifting right here in Dubai?
Good question. I think the strategy, as we said, Dubai is still undervalued, but look for the best opportunities. Yes, it's undervalued, but not every single project is an opportunity. Be selective.
Hmm.
Choose the right developer who's here for long term, who has financial capabilities, who's delivering on time. And I think it's the right time now to invest in areas that have future and potential future that doesn't have full infrastructure. The infrastructure is still in the making.
Hmm. So not in the current existing ones.
I mean, the existing one is still great opportunities, but I'm saying for someone who wants to tap into future opportunities, go to the areas that still the infrastructure is not so ready.
Hmm.
And that's where you will make more money.
Sound advice. How can people reach out to you?
Through you.
Through Instagram or through...
Well, I prefer Instagram, to tell you the truth, but I also can be approached if there is anyone who wants to come and talk to us about any issue related to land department. I'm on the third floor, room 339. It's easy to remember. 3 times 3 = 9.
3, 3, 9. I hope they didn't come and distract you, you know, like you have a waiting line.
But we are approachable always in email, by phone call, by...
What is your Instagram page? What's the name of the user?
Mahmoud Al-Barai.
How do you spell that?
Dr. Mahmoud. DrMahmoudAlBurai.
Okay. This is without underscore or without
anything? Without anything.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much, Dr. Mahmoud. I think there was a lot of amazing insights that you've shared with us.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. I wish you all the best. And hopefully investors and tenants and everyone who's watching us, and actually not only investors and tenants, we also call on people to look at opportunities in real estate as job opportunities and business opportunities.
For sure.
So this real estate industry is not only buildings, it's beyond buildings.
It's people.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.